Good morning, friends. Could you bow your heads, please, for the prayer of illumination? Holy God, illumine our hearts and our minds by your Spirit. As we turn to your word today, grant us grace to listen, the desire to grow, and the will to serve. Bless unto us this reading of the Scriptures as we seek to walk the way of Jesus. Amen. If there is one thing that we can say about the apocalyptic texts in the Bible, it is that they are full of all sorts of strange and fascinating imagery. Perhaps one of the strangest verses in the book of Revelation appears at the very beginning of our reading this morning. It's strange because in the midst of the flurry of activity and the non-stop action of the cosmic battle that being depicted, we also discover a heavenly silence. Right in the midst of it all, it is a silence that has the intention of having those who are listening to listen even more intently to what it is that God is doing, especially at those times when God appears to remain silent. This is a reading from Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. When the Lamb of God opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel, with a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, along with the prayers of all the saints, rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the ground. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. This is the end of the reading. May God bless unto us this reading of Scripture.
Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, as a people who have offered you prayers and sung you praises, today as we gather and as we reflect on your word, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you and life-giving to us. May they contain for us the word of Christ, the one in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I got Jim to include that last verse about, you know, the lightning and the thunder and the earthquake, because just to remind us that that text actually comes from the book of Revelation, because that's usually what we think of when we think of the book of Revelation as all of this cosmic activity and the scary language that we encounter in that book. But as Jim noted, and for me, one of the curious verses in the whole of the book of Revelation is verse 1 of chapter 8. And it's when the Lamb opens the seventh seal, and it says, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. That's striking to imagine that moment in the midst of all that goes on in that book of Revelation. And I wonder, you know, back in around 90 AD, when the people in the churches in Asia Minor were reading or hearing the book of Revelation being read to them, if when they came to that verse, if maybe they stopped for 30 minutes of silence. I was wondering if maybe I should do that for today, for a sermon. how do you see the prospect of 30 minutes of silence? Like to remain silent. You know, for a lot of people, that is an uncomfortable thing. Silence is awkward. It's unusual. And can even be uncomfortable. You know, I watched a documentary, and the producers were attempting to show, to display how much silence there is in an urban environment. Like, they were measuring silence in a 24-hour period using time-lapse technology. And so they had the footage or a study done back in the 70s, and they were able to measure hours and hours of silence, let's say, in an urban environment. But in present day, they've also done similar studies, and they're encountering hardly any silence, right? It's silence is on the verge of extinction, right? And so today, when we think about that, when we think about silence, I'm going to spend less than 30 minutes, just so you know. I promise that. But I want to reflect on the power of silence when it comes to our faith and with what it means to live faithfully, because silence is such a rare commodity. You know, and as it is with rare commodities, you know, sometimes we just don't know what to do with silence when we encounter it. You know, I liken silence to, you know, if you get a rare ingredient or some sort of exotic food when you're cooking, some sort of exotic ingredient, what do I do with this, right? To incorporate it into the dish? Well, you know, like on those reality shows, well, silence can be like that in life. We receive silence and we're just not sure how we incorporate it into our lives because, you know, we can be so busy and we live in such a noisy, activity-oriented world. I mean, think about it. Our lives are geared towards activity. And we all want to be active if we have the opportunity to be active. You know, we all know the health benefits associated with an active lifestyle. Engaging in what we call an active lifestyle, we're taught to be active. We associate being active with making the most of our time, being productive. If you're active, you're alive. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know for me, not having something to do becomes a very scary prospect, right? I remember one summer, for example, I was invited, Marianne and I were invited to go with this couple out on their boat, and the plan was to go at low tide and pick oysters and clams off a sandbar. So we hopped in their boat, and it took a little while to get there. And when we got there, they had read the tide schedule wrong. So we couldn't go picking oysters or clams. In fact, we just had to sit in that boat the whole day. And I can't tell you how difficult that was for me just to sit in that boat all day. Beautiful sunny day. I was thinking of all the things I could be out doing. And not that I didn't enjoy the company, but you know, you just kind of... I was chomping at the bit. It really was a type of agony to just sit there. And I refer to that as a period of forced idleness. And, you know, I didn't want to be still. But I was forced to remain still. And we all have those times of unexpected or forced idleness, don't we? You ever encounter one of those times where you just... It's all sorts of things you can think about doing. Maybe it's because of an illness or some other unforeseen event, and you just have to be still. And we can struggle with those times because we are so geared towards being active and being productive, with good reason. But you know, it's difficult to deal with silence. In the same way, you know, that we have trouble, you know, with being still, we have trouble with silence. And we can fail to see its benefit, especially when now, as a part of our active lifestyles, we're not only physically active, we really are, what I would say is we're encouraged to be socially active, right? Social media, news feeds, texting and the like, they keep our minds so active that we don't know what to do when things get silent, or just how to shut it down. And we don't know what to do with the silence when we encounter it. I know people go crazy. They'll wait for a long time because someone hasn't replied to their text and the silence is driving them crazy, or an email or so on. You know, we start to crave noise. And we crave stimulation. And I notice this sometimes myself when I listen to the radio. You know, things, sometimes they go silent for a second or two, and I think that, oh, there's something wrong. And it's only a second or two. You know, the dead air becomes cause for alarm. I have a friend, he's a colleague, he's a minister at a church where they actually broadcast their Sunday morning worship services. And he was telling me, you know, it's a problem. They have to be careful when it comes to how much silence they incorporate into a worship service, because the radio station has an automatic detection system for silence, right? So if there's any sort of prolonged pregnant pause during the service, automatically a pre-recorded message kicks in at the radio station just to avoid any dead airtime, right? Silence is seen as something to be avoided, right? And that's why I like this verse. I love it, this verse in the book of Revelation, right? In noting that there's silence in heaven for about 30 minutes, it's a way of communicating, I believe, that silence has a place in the heavenly realm, that silence is a part of the spiritual life, right? The silence that comes when this seventh seal is opened by the Lamb, right? And you see the seventh seal, that number seven, it's an important number in Revelation, represents a whole number, the 7 days of creation. And here it represents, you know, the opening of the seventh seal that leads to silence. It echoes the Sabbath cycle, right? We think of in Genesis, you know, in the 7 days of creation, on the seventh day, God rested. There was rest on seven. It echoes the ordinances in the book of Exodus that prohibited work and activity on the Sabbath day. I mean, not because, you know, work and activity are wrong, but in order that people would be reminded during these times of rest that there was a God who cared for them. Right? That people's present well-being and future well-being wasn't all up to them. And what they did, right? The day of rest was a day to be reminded of God's grace and God's care for the people through the absence of certain activity. Right? And we see this in our text today, right? When there's this silence, right? Silence in heaven, and then we have the image of this angel who comes with the censer and burns incense and lifts up prayers and prayers with the saints on behalf of the people, on behalf of others. Right? It's an image of heaven at work for us in the silence, right? Of that this is a God who sends others to seek and care and offer prayers for the people, a God who knows better often than we know ourselves the wholeness we really need in our lives, right? It's an image of the care we receive, especially at those times when we believe God is silent, right? And at those times, because we believe God is silent, we think we're the ones that have to act or do something or say something. But really what we see here in this text is that there's a power at work beyond us in the silence. And the scriptures are full of verses that attest to the power of God in silence. The most famous is that one from Psalm 46, you know, be still and know that I am God, right? Have you heard that verse? Yes? Not if you have. But, you know, then there's that verse in 1 Kings in the story of the prophet Elijah. And Elijah is told that he must wait for the presence of God to pass by. And so Elijah waits for the presence of God. And, you know, there's a great wind, but God isn't in the sound or the noise of the wind or in the earthquake. And God is not in an earthquake. God is discovered in the sheer silence. Right? It's in the sheer silence that Elijah hears the still small voice of God. Right? The power and presence of God discovered in silence. You see, the scriptures and the teachings of our faith, silence is not something to be feared or avoided. Silence really is something to be discovered, enjoyed as a gift, and a place where perhaps we can encounter the presence of God and come to know God more deeply. I mean, this is a God who seeks to minister to his people in the silence. It's a place where we may discover a deeper need in our lives and a care we receive that we can miss at times because we're just too busy or too noisy to receive that care. You know, like the angel offering the prayers at the altar. There's this God at work whose desire and is for us and who is mindful of us. You know, that term, this term, take care. You know, take care. You know, you ever use that phrase, take care? It's an interesting one. You know, you're talking to someone, you have a conversation, and you wrap it up, and you say, oh, take care, you know, see you next time, whatever. And, you know, we use that in our world a lot, that phrase, I do. And sometimes I wonder what I mean. What am I actually saying when I say take care? After all, I appreciate, you know, that we all have to take care, and there's much that needs to be taken care of. But sometimes we need to be reminded that we don't have to take care of it all. Or that it's not all up to us. Right? That ultimately there is a God who is known as a creator and a sustainer and a redeemer who feels a deep responsibility and a love for his creation and all his people. I mean, I often reflect when I say those words, take care, to someone, you know, maybe I should be saying something like, you know, don't forget to let God take care of you. Or maybe say something like, remember God's care for you. Those are important things to remember in life. Because we are fragile, vulnerable creatures, we humans. I mean, yes, we are called to be tough at times, and we can endure a lot. But you see, without a strength, without a deeper sense of strength, I believe it is easy for us to give in to fear and allow anxious thoughts to take over. I mean, especially at times when we do become aware of our vulnerability and our fragility. Right? And actually, I was reading about one place in particular where people have experienced a deep sense of their vulnerability, a different sense of their being. And believe it or not, it's actually at the Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, Washington. Do you believe that people feel extra vulnerable when they're at Microsoft? I mean, it depends. Maybe you have trouble with your computer, you might. But anyways, Microsoft invested into this specially constructed chamber. And so it's considered to be the most silent place on Earth. And that's at Microsoft headquarters. And the engineers developed it in order to do, you know, research and development and work on stuff, test new equipment. But the sound level in this quietest place on Earth is registered as being negative 20.6 decibels. And so I want you to listen to the description that one of the engineers gives about being in this room. He says it's a unique experience. He says when you stop breathing, you can hear your heart beating. You can hear the blood flowing through your veins. You can hear your joints drawing together. He says, all of a sudden, you're reminded of so many things that can just go unnoticed. Things that you take for granted. things you have little or no control over. You see, this negative 20.6 decibel environment, this sheer silence, reminds people of their being in a whole different way. And a number of people who go into that room, they say they find the experience of being in there just unsettling, and they can't wait till they can go. Now, I know you might be wondering, how are negative decibels possible? Did you know that negative decibels are possible? I did not know that. But according to science, the limit of human hearing is thought to be around 0 decibels. But just because our ears cannot pick it up does not mean that there is no sound present. And hence, it is possible to get this negative value. And I find that fascinating, you see. And when I learned that, because, it's great to think of that. Just because our ears cannot pick it up does not mean there is no sound present. Because, see, there's a theological truth in that for me about God. And something for us to remember as a people of faith, that sometimes just because we don't see God at work, or we believe God is silent, that perhaps things are going on that we just cannot perceive and cannot hear, and often it's because we're too busy to notice. But it's something that silence teaches us. And it's certainly something that silence teaches us in the scriptures and in the book of Revelation. Silence teaches us about grace. And you see, throughout the book of Revelation, the Lamb is Christ. And it's the Lamb who opens the seals. And the Lamb in the book of Revelation is always silent. Never says a word. But the Lamb is at work, seeking to bring about a new creation, doing the work of God's kingdom. And the silence, you see, the silence of that Lamb in Revelation is also representative of the silence of Christ's tomb between the day of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. It's that period of time when, if you remember your Apostles' Creed, it's the time when Christ is said to have descended into death. And I like, in the Eastern tradition of the church especially, they do more about that period. They speak more of it. But, you know, it's considered to be the time when Christ descends into death and he releases the souls of the ones who are held captive by death. Right? It's when Jesus defeats death. It's actually in the silence of the tomb. Because although it's a period of silence, the Spirit of God is at work, doing only what God can do in overcoming the silence associated with death itself. I mean, when it comes to silence, when it comes right down to it, death is the ultimate silence, is it not? And it may, you know, have something to do with why we avoid silence in favor of activity in the first place, right? Because silence is, for us, the absence of life. Except for we as a people of faith, we are meant to believe that this is not the case. If anything, silence is the place where we experience the best of God. We gain knowledge of what God is doing for us, though that which we cannot do for ourselves. Saint Benedict, in his Rule of Life, believed and accepted that silence was the first step towards intimacy with God. You want a relationship with God, said Saint Benedict. You start with silence. Because if you can invite silence into your life, you create space to truly listen for what God is saying, and perhaps behold differently what God is doing. One author I read put it this way. He said, when we can welcome the silence, we discover an opportunity to become more aware of the God who never leaves us. A God who's just wanting to be found in the silence. And when we can become comfortable with silence, we discover a closer relationship with God. We truly begin to receive those gifts. God is always wanting to give us gifts of presence, of embrace, of comfort and love. Because you see, one of the true gifts of faith, especially in this busy, noisy, activity-driven world in which we find ourselves living busy, noisy, activity-driven lives, is the opportunity to pause, to listen for silence, and enjoy the silence, because when we can do that, we will discover that there is more to life. Thanks be to God.